Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Roxy, R-O-Q-Z-E-E. Welcome to my podcast. I was going to make a YouTube video about this, but I have packed up my tripod. Long story for another day. I'm trying to move house, so I have sort of packed up my bags and my tripod is in there, so I can't like set up lighting and stuff for my YouTube video. So I'm just going to make a quick podcast. How's it going? How's everybody? For those of you who's been following my progress, I am almost done with school. It's a little more time to go. I've done my last major school work, which I've submitted yesterday. So I'm sort of free now, which is also why I haven't been able to post anything in the last month or so. I've been able to, well, it's not up to a month, but you get my point. I used to post like a lot more often, but I haven't been able to do that because I've been seriously busy. Anyway, having said that, how's it going? How are you? How's your weekend? I sent out a tweet earlier on. I don't know what we call it now. We used to call it a tweet because they changed it from Twitter to X. Do I send out an X earlier on? I don't know. Anyway, and I was just trying to test the knowledge of Nigerians and Africans about money and other people's money, right? So this is one of those areas where people use emotion rather than logic. And I'll explain. So since I got to the UK, I have done a bit of work on wills, right? So when people write their wills before they die. And as a lawyer in Nigeria, normally when you hear about wills, the only things that come to your mind usually are wills or codicils. Wills being the last testament of a person, you know what I mean? So you're still alive, you just want to tidy up your estate, right? So if and when I die, this is how I want my things to be handled. Fair enough. Codicils usually are amendments to the will. So I made my will 20 years ago. I'm still alive. I want to amend something in it or I want to change it. It's called a codicil. So usually that's where the knowledge stops. So in terms of estate planning, that's usually where most people talk about when you tell someone, I want to plan my estate. And then I get here and I hear things like the lasting power of attorney, also known as the enduring power of attorney, which is one of the things that I've heard, right? So it's not the only thing. There are other things that are used to plan people's estates, right? So you can do a power of attorney for your property. You can do one for your health and welfare. You can do trusts, you know, you can put your assets into trusts. There's so many different variations. And I've been working on it for the past 3 months. But then it occurred to me that I probably only know many of these things because I now practice or work in the area. I don't practice. I've just done some work with people in the area. So I threw it out and I asked people and I said, so if your parents are incapacitated due to illness, right? So they're very sick, they're in a coma, or they're just really, really sick, right? So they can't obviously make decisions, right? They are bedridden in hospital, they're on admission, they're in and out of consciousness, they, you know, the doctors need to do medical, you know what I mean, take some medical interventions, and they want to know, we have options, right? This is what's going on right now. Who's the family guardian? You know, you're there, you're the child. They say, look, we need to make decisions around your mom's health, right? Both of them have consequences. If we go this way, we will have to cut off her leg. If we go this way, we have to cut off her arm, right? But we need, you know, we can do one or the other. We can just leave it and hope for the best. Does it make sense? It might heal itself in the next 10 years, or it might get worse and she might die. Medical decisions. Your mom is on right there on the bed, on admission in a coma. Naturally, everyone says, well, I'll call the family meeting, I'll ask my uncles, I'll ask people around for the best. You do realize that everyone's going to tell you subjectively what they think. It's all coming from a place of love from the person who is ill. Everyone wants to help. They think that the person's being alive is the ultimate decision, the best decision in every circumstance, is keeping them alive. Whether in pain, whether or not, whether that's kind of life they wanted to live, whether that's a decision they'll make for themselves, nobody knows. But we have to keep them alive. But then when it also then comes to the money part of it, right? And they say, okay, so now we need money to pay for whatever decisions you've made medically. This person is on bedridden, right? None of you have the money to pay for it, and we can't move until you pay. The question I asked people was, you know that your mom has, I don't know, 20 million naira in her account. The operation is going to cost 19.5 million. Are you going to access your mom's 20 million in her account to pay for that medical intervention, right? Knowing that your mom is on the hospital bed and can't make a decision for herself. 80% of people said yes, that they would do that. 10% of people said no, I would try to raise money myself. As you know what I mean, that is my responsibility as the child to the parent, regardless of how much they have, to raise the money and make sure that they are better. I owe them that. Other people said, look, if my mom would not forgive me if I didn't access that money to save her life, right? Because what's the point of all that money if she does die? But the further thing I asked was, if the person then gets up after you've saved them and you spend 19.5 million doing that, and they get up and they sue you and they say, look, I would never have made that kind of decision. The whole purpose of saving that money over the 60 years on earth was because it was more important for me to leave a legacy for my kids. I saved all that money so that you and your five siblings have something to bank on when I go. I'm 65. I would rather have died than spend the money I've spent all my life keeping it so that when I do die, I can leave my children, which was more important to me than staying alive till I'm 90. And now I'm 90 and I will have 100,000 naira in my account. Because you made the wrong decision. Nobody could answer that part of the question. Nobody could answer it, right? And I ask that because everyone in situations like this makes emotional decisions, right? Emotional decisions are often good, but are they always in the best interest of the person who is sick? Or are they in your own best interest? Many of us do not want to cry over the people when they die. We don't want that day to come soon. So we try to extend it as long as possible. Doctors already know this, which is why sometimes they rather ask somebody who is not so vested in the situation. Not the woman's children, not the woman's husband. They'd rather somebody who is a little removed from it. Maybe their family doctor, somebody else who can take a more logical decision. We want her to live, but is that the life she would have wanted to live? Are we just doing all this, keeping her for too long? She'll still die eventually. Are we prolonging the evil day and keeping her in pain for too long? Should we do it now rather than later? Should we even agree to some of these medical interventions? Because at the end of the day, are we doing it for her, really? Are we doing it for ourselves because we love her so much and we don't want that evil day to come so soon, even though we know it's going to come in 1 year's time and she'll have only one leg, one arm, and 500,000 in her account, which is not enough to do anything? Are we making logical decisions? You know what I'm saying? Which is where something called the lasting power of attorney comes in. Nigerians don't understand the concept of liability or consent. The concept of liability or consent. We think that if we have done that, good intentions are enough, and that if we have used our best intentions to do something, then there should be no liability. Does it make sense? So when the person said to me, "Oh, even my mom would understand that I was trying to save her life, that's why," that's good intentions. Ideally, that should suffice in an ideal world. We're not in an ideal world. And like I said to you, for subjective decisions like that, you never know what the person's real life goals were and whether or not they'll take that decision if you were in their shoes. So to spend the money that they've kept all their lives up until that point, only for them to wake up and say, first of all, I would not have spent 19.5 million. Second of all, the hospital you took me to was the wrong hospital. When you realize that it was a nervous breakdown, you should have taken me to a proper hospital, specialist hospital. They would not have charged us that much, and they would have done less invasive procedures because they are used to it. I can find a million reasons why I tell you made the wrong decision, and now you've blown my life savings on it. Second of all, did all the money go into the medical expenses? If some of the money went into transporting me from one place to the other, if some of the money went into you coming to hospital to see me, move around, buy things that they asked you to buy for me, you know what I mean, blah, blah, blah. Should all of that be passed on to me, or was that, don't you have a contribution to make for yourself in taking care of me? There are so many questions. So even if it's not the person who wakes up and challenges it, if the other people who were vested in that estate, when the person eventually dies, after you spend 19.5 million, she still dies. And then your siblings are saying, who asked you to spend that kind of money? Why is it 19.5 million? I have another hospital that would have collected 2 million naira for that same thing. As a matter of fact, we think that you took her here so you can hide other expenses under it. Now we want a breakdown of the costs. How much exactly do you give the hospital? How much did you spend on transport? How much did you spend on this and that? In fact, if mom was alive, she would not have allowed you to spend that money. So as a matter of fact, show us that she authorized you to do so. And then you can't show them. Best of intentions does not always cover for liability. Just because you meant well doesn't always remove legal liability. Sometimes you're acting on your own, even when you think you're acting for others, and the liability will follow you. So that if the siblings or anyone else who is vested properly challenges your decisions that you made, your intentions won't matter. You might be liable to refund some of the money, if not all of it. Does it make sense? So, lasting power of attorney means that when you're alive, if you're listening to this, this is the lesson. If you're alive today, and whether you're married or not, whether you have kids or not, if there's anybody in your life who should be consulted, who should take medical decisions for you when you're not able to do so for yourself, who should take financial or property decisions for you when you cannot do that for yourself, this is the time to sign an LPA, a lasting power of attorney. In the UK, they file it off. Somebody prepares one for you, a specialist, and they file it off with the government. They register it with the government, and it becomes binding. So that at the time where, God forbid, you're hospitalized, you're rushed to hospital, you're in a coma, they want to take certain decisions on your behalf, they know exactly who to call, and that person is protected. The person can take the decisions, can access your bank account, can actually sell property sometimes to keep you alive, if that was your wish. Because that person is duly legally authorized by document to do that and is protected from liability. So if anyone challenges them and says, you did the wrong thing, that's not what you should have done, we disagree with your decisions, the person is protected because when you were able, you were sane, you were alive, you were healthy, you said, this is the person. So we all assume you've discussed with that person what your wishes are and the person was merely executing them, if that makes sense. That was the bit I wanted to discuss. That was the bit I was going to bring out from that tweet, whatever it's called now. And I hope you've learned something today. As always, available to carry the discussion forward on Twitter, noun X, ROQZEE. Let me know your thoughts. I'm available to discuss some more of it if you want. And point in the right direction if you're trying to write your own will or lasting power of attorney for yourself or for someone you love. Also, spread the message. A lot of people don't know that, right? So tell them and say, you have to have documentation down so people can take decisions for you when you cannot do so for yourself. Does that make sense? All right, y'all. Too long, 3 minutes. Peace out. Talk to you soon. Cheers.